the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. I want to preach about and talk about this woman in 1 Kings. And I pray that God might bless you. 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. Let's start. We'll stand in accordance to reading the Word of God this morning in reverence to the Word, not me. But 1 Kings chapter number 17 and verse number 8 is where we'll start reading. The Bible said, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, as we bow in your divine presence, we thank you for the reading of the precious, unadulterated Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can put our trust in it. We can lean on it. We can apply it. Lord, it's been a blessing down to us there through the years. And Lord, we've come to you this morning asking that you might once again refresh us from a heaven from above, that we might get that heavenly manna this morning spread upon our hearts, that we'd feast for the riches of your grace and go out being better than we were when we came in, with more determination to do for you more than we ever have. And that, God, we might stand in the gap and make up the hedge in this forthcoming year. Lord, we'd be the vessel of honor and not a vessel of dishonor. May our minds and hearts and souls be centered upon you. Direct our attention. Stir us with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at this morning, and I want to preach on a little thought, something like this: living at the bottom of the barrel. Amen. Living at the bottom of the barrel. Now, we know out of the 17th chapter of 1 Kings that God showed us several things here. Elijah's come on the scene. Elijah, the great man of God, is one of my favorite Bible characters. The Bible's filled with those. I love the Bible characters. And the Bible said, and I believe it's talking about Elijah when he said he's of like passions as you and me. All these Bible characters had the same problems that you and I have. Had the same flesh. There's nothing special about them. It was the God that was in them. Amen. Nothing special about me, nothing special about you, but it's the God that's in me and the God that's in you. Now, I'm talking about the God of all gods. Amen. God Almighty, Jehovah. Now, as I study this, we find that he was a powerful man. He had power with God. He is able to speak and shut heaven up and it not rain for 3.5 years. Amen. He was told that that was what would happen, and in his voice, it ceased to rain. And it did not rain again until Elijah said so. And we'll find that later in this portion of Scripture. May not get to it today. Just laying the framework. And I also want to remind you that Elijah was a man who God took care of, just like the rest of us. And he stayed down by the brook and stayed there for a long time. And actually, he stayed there, and the God of heaven sent ravens down to feed him. The birds brought him something to eat. Amen. At mealtime. God has strange ways of taking care of us. But he took care of him. And Elijah probably got stuck in his ways and probably would never have had any idea of moving from there, but God dried the brook up. Amen. Somebody said, well, if God's going to feed him, why in the world would God dry his brook up? Sometimes God brings some things in your life to stop you from going in the direction that you're going in and to give you time to think about it. And the only time sometimes God can get your attention is to crack you in the head. Amen. And sometimes drying your brook up is a crack in the head. Amen. And so that's exactly what happened to Elijah. And God dried his brook up and said, now I want you to go down to yonder to a little place called Zarephath. And at Zarephath, I've got a widow that's going to take care of you. She's going to sustain you. Now, I want to tell you, this woman we're fixing to talk about this morning, I won't mention too much maybe about Elijah, more as much as I will about her. And we'll talk back and forth. But as I get into this story, I want you to see that this widow woman was probably in the valley. She is probably at the lowest place she had been in her lifetime. Now, you've been there. She was living at the bottom of the barrel. Amen. She only had enough meal, just a handful, that she could make a cake or a portion of meal to make the bread and feed her and her son, and then she would die. She only had enough oil in the cruse of the vessel that she had it in that would be able to make one batch of bread for them. And so she was at the bottom of the barrel. But I want to say to you this morning, sometimes God is to put you at the bottom of the barrel before He'll ever get your attention to look further. Amen. 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 As long as she had a full barrel of meal and a full cruse of oil, she would never look nowhere else. But when it got down to the bottom, she began to pay attention. Amen. And the God of heaven knows what's going on in your life. Well, you said, well, preacher, I just kind of go by luck. Let me tell you this, there's no such thing as luck to a child of God. And there's no such thing as just per chance that things is going to happen in your favor. Amen. It's in the mind of God. I'll just tell you this, nothing, it just falls on just a coincidence. Amen. The other night I was in a place and this dear lady I know, been knowing for years, and hadn't seen her in years. Her daughter died many years ago as a young girl, and then her husband died many years ago and left her as a widow. And she's a sweet woman, always has been. And so we saw her. My wife said, is that? Yes, that's who it is. And I said, yes. And so anyhow, my wife went over and spoke to her. She came to our table where we were and sit down, and we got to talking. And I left there, and it seemed to bless her and bless me for meeting and seeing her again. And as I drove off, I thought, now that's not just coincidence. God had that for a purpose. And you think that you just meet somebody that you hadn't seen for years in a place that normally you wouldn't even meet anybody. Brother, that's not coincidence. That's the hand of God for them to be there the same time that you are. You see, it's on God's schedule, not yours. So God can take providence and things in your life and bring you to the place to get you to see the things that you need to see. Amen? And I want to say this. God supplies the need of His people. Amen? Now, I'm leading up to this, and I want to say, this is the last Sunday morning that we're going to have service at this church this year. Amen. Now, you said you're not having church next Sunday? Yes, we are. Lord willing, the rapture don't take place. And I don't die and you don't die. Amen. If I die, some of you can steal me. Amen. But if the rapture takes place, you are not ready. You can go ahead and have the service. Amen. It won't be the same, but you'd have one. And we don't have service, but it'll be next year. And amen. That's right. So this is the last service. And I'm saying that because we're fixing to face a brand new year. How many of you have ever faced 2013? How many of you? That's right. None. So we're going to face things we ain't never faced. How many of you can go back and say, boy, 2012, I've seen things I thought I'd never see. I had things to happen to me I thought would never happen to me. And you look on this side of it now and you look back and say, hey, it's been by the grace of God that I come through every bit of it. And God brought me here. Amen. I'd rather be on this side of it now as on the other side of it. Amen. Thanking God for bringing me through it. Amen. Things I face. And I say this to you. There's some things you face this year that you hope you don't face next year. Can you say that? Yes, sir, I can. Amen. I've seen several things in this year I don't want to go back through again. I thank God for everything He's brought me through. I said, brought me through. I said, everything He brought me through. He done brought me through it. Amen. I don't want to go back and do it again. I hope I learned the first time. Or the second time. I hope I've learned enough that I'll stay out of that again. Amen. And God won't have to bring that to me. I don't want my brook to dry up this year. Amen. I want to be to where God speaks to me. He don't have to send me and dry my brook up. I want to be able to listen to His voice. I don't doubt that Elijah would have said, if God had said, go down to Zarephath and see the widow. I don't think he'd had much incentive, but except when he went down there to the brook and there wasn't no water. What's the first thing he asked the woman to do for him when he got down to Zarephath? Bring me a glass of water. Amen. So he had a little incentive. So God sometimes has to twist your arm. He has to twist your head. He has to wring your neck. Amen. He has to wind on your ear a little bit to get your attention. Is that right? Amen. Some of us are hard to hear. We're deaf when it comes to God speaking. All right, when we see God took care of Elijah. Now we got that took care of. Let's look at the little story. So he gets down. He finally gets to Zarephath. When he gets to Zarephath, he finds a widow. He don't have to go downtown and say, hey, I've been sent over here to see a widow. There's a widow somewhere that God wants me to see. If God sends you somewhere, He's going to have it waiting on you when you get there. Amen. I've seen these people get in their ideas that God wants them to do something, God wants them to do this or that, and then God never meet the plans. I've seen missionaries. God help their soul, and some claim to be missionaries. I've had them to come to our church, and I pastored and said, God wants me to go to a certain country. And they say, oh, I'm raising money to go to that country. And then something happened, and they don't go. And the next thing you know, they're trying to raise money to go to a different country. And I say, why wouldn't you go? Well, the door's closed. And then I say, where were you going? Well, we're going here. And before they get there, the door closes there. See, I believe God's in different business. God knows where the door's going to close. And God ain't going to put you in a circumstance. He tells you to go somewhere. He's going to make it available for you to be there. Amen. I mean, God's plans are not changed. He don't have to sit and, well, amen, I didn't know that Hong Kong was going to close and now I have to send Him somewhere else. I'm glad I got a God in heaven that knows all that stuff. Amen. He knows exactly how to do it. Now, I don't know how sometimes, I look at this thing, sometimes I say, I don't know how in the world I'm going to be able to do this. And I scratch my head and worry and wonder about it. But God always works it out. If God's in it, God will provide for you. Amen. I've seen that. I've seen it time and time again. I could name you instant after instant. I'm not going to do that. But I should do that because I've seen it happen. Amen. Now this widow, she was facing an extreme situation. She was facing a real dire circumstance. She had a real need. It was severe. She had a severe circumstance in her life. She only had enough bread for one more meal. She had a son that she had to provide for, and she didn't know what she was going to do after that. Amen. Just when you get down to the bottom of the barrel, it's a good time to look up to find a God that can take care of you. Amen. And so I'm telling you, I believe we're about at the bottom of the barrel in America. Amen. We look at the circumstances that we're seeing all around us. Brother, I've seen in the last couple, 3 years that people have lost their life savings. And they've lost a lot of money. Some have got their jobs taken away from them. And they don't have a way of making a living anymore. Hard to find a job in this town. And I've got news for you. I don't believe it's going to get any better. You said, preacher, I wish you'd shut your mouth and give us something more positive. I wish I could. But I want to tell you, I believe it's going to get worse before it gets better. Amen. Amen. I believe it's going to get. Well, not because of my personal feelings. I'm going by what I see according to the Word of God. I believe it's going to get worse. I believe 2013 is going to be harder for us to make it through than we did in 2012. Thank God there's a God in heaven that can take us through it. He'll take us by the hand and lead us through it every bit. Thank God He will.
Amen.
I can already shout. Amen. If I'm living next 2014 when it comes up, amen, if I'm still living then on this earth and God hadn't taken me out, amen, He might give me a rest. The Bible said, "There remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God." I might be resting this time next year in the city of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you this much. If I'm left here, I know that God will take me by the right hand and the left if He has to, and brother, lead me through this next year. I'm glad that He's going. I ain't going to say I won't have some scars. I ain't going to say I won't have a few scratches on me, but I'm going to make it through it. Amen. You know why? I've got God to direct my path. I don't understand how He's going to do it. Matter of fact, I have been now 65 years of my life, and part of that, the first few years of it, I didn't know, amen, anything about it. But when I got old enough to realize that, hey, He's took care of me all the way, and He's never let me down. Can anybody raise your hand this morning and say, God has failed me down the road, and He let me down? Can anybody say that? I didn't think you could. Amen. If you had to raise your hand, I'd probably stop and come back and sit with you for a while. Amen. Because you got a problem. God's never failed you. But can I ask you a question? Have you ever failed Him? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. I just know how many it should go up anyhow. Amen. We failed Him. He's never failed us. He's took us through it. Now, she lost everything. Just about it's gone. She has no hope nowhere else. I got to look at what does she have. She has a place to stay. I don't know if her rent was due. I don't know if she was behind or not. But I do know she had a son. And I do know that she had some a meal. Just a little bit of meal. How much meal did she have, preacher? She had a handful. It didn't say she had hands full. She had a handful. Now ladies, I don't know about you. But a handful of meal. And of course a man's hand's a little bit bigger. And some of you little women in here, you got them little bitty hands. That ain't a whole lot of meal, is it? Imagine that's all you got at the house. Just one little handful of meal. And just enough oil. Amen. They had oil back then. Now, I just sit back and look at some of you trying to figure out, was it olive oil? Was it castor oil? Was it Wesson oil? Amen. I ain't getting into all that. Amen. She had just enough oil in the cruse. Just enough to make one handful of meal to make bread. Just, that's all she had. She didn't have a pantry full of food. No money in the bank to buy anything. It was a famine in that day. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. I don't know what course of time in that time. But it was in that famine period. I don't know how long it was. Been a while because the brook's done dried up over there and Elijah's done come to Zarephath. Remember the story? So it's been in that famine for a while. There's no way of growing crops. There's no hope for her. She's got a little place that she can call her own for a little bit. A roof over her head. And you said, where do you find that? You have to read on past that story down there. Amen. You find out that the woman called for the preacher in the house, you know. Amen. He had to go back and heal this boy. Raise him from the dead, so to speak. And so listen. She only had a house. She had a little meal. She had a little oil. Had a son. And as far as I know, that's all she had. Maybe the clothes on her back. I don't know what she had in the closet. But she was at wit's end. She's at the bottom of the barrel. Now you may think you've been there. If you ain't been there, you may get there. What are you going to do when you get to the end and the bottom of the barrel? Amen? Now I want to say God has a purpose. Let's just read this scripture and go down through it. The Bible said in verse 11, let's go back up and read verse number 10. And let's look at these scriptures just for a moment. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Now listen. What did he do? He done exactly what God told him to do. What if he'd have went somewhere else? We know what would happen. What did Jonah do? He went to Tarshish. He is supposed to go to Nineveh. And the ship got in an uproar. The storm come up on the sea and they had to throw Jonah overboard. So now Elijah, done what God told him to do. He went to Zarephath. That's exactly what God... Don't ever try to change what God says. God gives you a specific thing to do, you do it. He said, and so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of the sticks. Didn't have to look her up, as I said. She's gathering sticks. So what's the sticks for? To make a fire, to cook the bread. Amen. She didn't even have one of them fine ovens, ladies. Had to build the fire. How many of you remember them times? I watched my mama make bread on a wood stove. I had to cut the wood for the bread, for the wood stove. Yeah, fellas, I had to walk to school downhill, uphill both times. That's what they always aggravate me with. We call them the good old days. I ain't so sure this is a good old. Amen. And, amen, I remember my grandmother and mother and aunts all lived in a little area. We had to walk across in the apple orchard over the top of the hill over to another little place. And one certain day of the week, we had to carry all our dirty clothes in big bags on our shoulders, us boys. Now, there's big bags as a little boy. Amen. They looked like they're humongous. They wasn't all that big, I don't guess, but that, I mean, before I got there, nearly drug them, but anyhow. We get over there, and they had a fire burning, and the big old black pots sitting up, and they were boiling clothes. How many remembers them days? And they had a washboard. How many knows what a washboard is? I know you would, some of you. And they'd take them old wash them clothes and rub them on that washboard, and that scrubbed them. And they'd hang them on the line, and we'd eat. And then we'd get them clothes and have to carry them back that evening. Stayed all day. It was on. Hey, you ladies gripe because you have to work 3 hours in a automatic washer. I was sitting in the house yesterday. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm washing clothes. And I said, look to me like you're just sitting on the couch. Amen. Now this lady didn't have that. She didn't have that. And said, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of the sticks. And he called to her and said, he was country, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, here's a thirsty man. Here's the man of God giving him water. And so, you know why I believe he done that? I believe he's checking out to make sure this is the right widow woman. You see, I believe in God's working on both sides of the track. She's at the bottom of the barrel. But here's somebody, she's a good woman. Now, also, I find a New Testament teaching here. I'm going to throw this in. I'm going to interject this. Just in case somebody asks some questions. I believe it was Wednesday night or some other time I was talking about widows. And the Bible said not take in a widow unless she's a widow indeed. And the Bible said she has to show hospitality. You remember that? And wash the saints' feet and so forth. She has to, and good deeds. So this woman fit the bill of being a right widow, did she not? She gave a deed. She done the deed of giving water. And then as she was going to fetch. Now, if she had reneged and backed up on that, he'd have known right off, this is not the right place. So she's on her way to get water. He called to her in verse 11 and said, bring me, now since you're going to get me some water, said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now I don't know where Elijah knowed about how much bread she had or not, but God did. And Elijah may not have known that she was at the end of the barrel. She's living there. And on top of that, I'm sure, I have to say this about Elijah, he was obedient. I wonder how many preachers in this county and around this country would depend on ravens to bring him something to eat and a widow woman to take care of. That seems to be the two most likely places of failure. Huh? God's using two things here that seem like the two least things that you could ever get anything out of. I got a bunch of crows over at my house, and I don't know what these ravens are, but they're in that family. And I tell you right now, I am not depending on crows to feed me. And I'd be a little leery if God said they're going to bring me something in the morning and something in the evening. And then most of us are too fancy, we wouldn't eat it nohow, because I've seen what they eat. Fresh meat, roadkill. And so, the next thing is, I've got a widow that's going to sustain you. As normal runs tonight, or this morning, a widow is incapable of taking care of too much. She has a hard time taking care of herself. But God said, I can take things that don't seem to be likely to do it, and hey, they can just supply it just right on time. God said, I can tell the birds and they can feed you. I can take care of a widow, and a widow can feed you. Now here is a woman that's living at the bottom of the barrel. Life has not been good to her. Everything is going south. She ain't got much left at all. And now she's going to take care of the man of God. And he says, give me some water. She goes to get the water. Hey, while you're at it, just make me some bread. Somebody said, boy, that's just like a Baptist preacher. Always wanting to eat. About right. But you think about this a minute. Let's look at the story. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. She begins to reveal, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. I don't have enough to make a big pone of bread. All I got enough is just for a little meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I... She wasn't planning on getting firewood for a month. She didn't have enough bread to cook. She knew she didn't. That I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now notice what the man of God said, and I want to show you something here. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Go ahead, get the wood, bring it up. And make enough bread. But I want to get you to do something else first. But make me thereof a little cake first. First of all, I've got to make something for the preacher. Before you do anything for yourself and for your son, make it for the man of God. I just see somebody saying, boy, isn't he selfish? He's going to put himself out there first. No, look here what's going on. And bring it unto me. And then it said, and after... make for thee and for thy son. We've got two bacons going on. You make me a little bit of bread first. Now, you know what would happen? The widow said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make some bread and we'll sit down and share it. God didn't want no sharing. Now you look at this. Didn't want no sharing. And what's it a type of? It's a type that God don't want to share you with nobody. God wants us to live in sacrifice, and God don't want us to share our life with Him. God wants us to give our life to Him. What God is saying here is, I want you to give yourself in the faith. I want you to give yourself first unto me, and then after that I'll take care of you. That's what God's teaching in this. That's a New Testament teaching I just gave you, but it's come out of this Old Testament book. God don't want you to have to help Him take care of you. God don't want you to have a little portion taken care of you. God wants to take care of you all by Himself. Now, let's look at the story. This gets exciting to me. And in verse number 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal. Notice what he's giving him. He's given her a promise. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, he's a young preacher, young man, somewhere back yonder. I don't know where I was preaching at all then, but I used to hear preachers get up and say, she took that cruse of oil and she poured that oil in. When she poured that oil in, it said, boom, 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 and filled right back up to the top. I heard them say it. And said she reached 10 and got her meal out, and when she did, it said, boom, 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 and come back to the top. And I went with that for years and years and years. And every time in my mind, I could see her dipping out the meal, and it just rising back to the top. And then every time she poured cruise oil in there, it just rise back with, and she just kept a full cruise of oil and a full barrel of meal. And I went with that for years until God showed me the difference and told me why. Now, if that woman had dipped out that meal and that meal just kept filling up, and she come in the next morning half full, and the next morning 3/4 full, and she dipped out a little bit more and it just come up a little higher, and she had a full... Listen, she wouldn't been worth nothing. She'd have forgot God or forgot the man of God. But God kept her working and living at the bottom of the barrel. She reached in with a little hand and scooped up and scraped it up and got it all around there and got it all up, picked it up and put it over in there. And then she took that little cruise oil that had left, just enough oil in it. She poured that oil down in there, and it looked like it poured off. Set it back down. She stirred it up and baked that, and she had a cake of bread. She just emptied the barrel. Went back over the next time to get it. Reached down and scraped it up a little bit. Got all that, and put it over there again. Put it in. Put the oil. Amen. And God just replaced back ever and kept her a little bit at a time, just enough to get by. You see, God don't take care of you for 20 years. He takes care of you one day at a time. So you folks that's worried about 2013, quit worrying about it. You ain't got there yet. By the way, 2013 could still be put on your... I start to say birthday, but your tombstone. If I live, and if you live, till midnight, tomorrow night, they will not tack 2012 on my tombstone. But I ain't free and clear yet. Amen. So why would I want to worry about next week and next year, when I may not even have another day? God takes care of me one day at a time. If God filled your bank account up, He put clothes in your closet that you wouldn't have to worry about wearing anymore. He kept that old car brand new. And He kept your shoes from wearing out. And He kept your health from deteriorating. And He kept your hair pretty without, what is it they put on it now? Any of that stuff. And if He kept your eyesight without glasses, amen, guess what? You'd be a nervous wreck anyhow. You'd take for granted that you earned it and owned it. And you'd forget God and live wicked. But God keeps you at the bottom of the barrel so He can let you know He's still on the throne. Amen. He said, preacher, wish you would put a little bit more in the barrel. Amen. Well, talk to Him about that. Maybe He can't trust you with no more. Amen. How about that? If you put more meal in the barrel, you just eat 2 pounds of bread at one time. Some of us, he's done that. Some of us got more than one meal ahead already. Amen. Now we're looking at practical things from this widow woman. She obeyed what the man of God said. Now here is the key. I want to get this. She was to sustain him. And here's what I like. Verse 15 gives us the key, and I'm quitting. The Bible said the barrel never got empty, and the cruise oil stayed until the rain came back. Now I don't know how long that was. I know it wasn't raining for 3.5 years, but this is up in that period of time. So I don't know how many months or years that she kept making bread out of the same meal barrel and didn't have to go to the grocery store to buy anymore. You said, well, I wish God could do that. God can do that. How come He don't do your barrel? Maybe you don't need to. Huh? You said, well, He keeps you. Hey, how many of you, amen, I've seen the time, and my wife will vouch for this, I've seen the time when we've gathered groceries up at the church house to give to somebody that was in the community that was needy, and we've had more groceries sitting on our table, and actually the church didn't even know it, but we is in need of some of that ourselves, and we gave it away, but God always took care of me. And I'm not trying to get, hey, I got plenty to eat, I'm not looking for anybody to feed me today. You can if you want to, but I'm not starving to death. Look at me. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not getting you to feel sorry for it. I'm just telling you that there's times in your life when you're at the bottom of the barrel. And why you get there, I can't tell you why you're there. I can give you some reasons why it's possible that you're there. And that's another message in itself. But I'm telling you this morning, there's a God in heaven that can keep you and take care of you. God never promised you that He's going to give you everything. He just said, I'll meet your needs. My church I was pastored at one time, they knew we was in financial tight, and you know, we paid our bills, we took care of all that was took care of. But we didn't have money extra to do anything. And I've even had them to come to the house. But my kids are just small and said, let me borrow your children for a little while. What are you going to do with them? We just want to take them. Where are you taking them? Well, if it's any of your business, well, it is, it's my youngins. If it's any of your business, we're going to take them to Dairy Queen, get them an ice cream. I said, help yourself. The only thing that bothered me is they didn't take me. But they bought the kids an ice cream. It was why God knew that. He'd give you a handful on purpose. But here's the key. I like this, and I like this little phrase. Here is why she was blessed. And you'll probably remember this all evening. And she went and did. Verse 15. And she went and did. And she went and did. Now think about that this afternoon. She went and did what? Went and did what God said to do through Elijah. Now if you want to get blessed of God, you just went and did. Amen? Now when I read that, I looked at that and I said, oh Lord have mercy. Elijah, about like us Baptist preachers. I've murdered the King's English all my life. Miss Burrow, years ago, I'd have been really embarrassed to preach in front of you. Wasn't you in English? Amen. And I failed English. You tell that by the way I preach. But there's not a preacher in the country that's ever been worth the salt that went in his bread what didn't tire up the King's English. That pretty well tires it up right there, don't it? And she went and did. And that gets it done. And she went and did. Now if you want the blessing of God, just go and do. Amen. What God said to do. She was obedient to God. She was obedient to God. I rejoice this morning that she was blessed of the Lord. And it said, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. I didn't get into anything much. Maybe we can later. But I don't know what we're going to face next year. I don't know what we're going to face next week, nor tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to face the rest of the day. But I know there's a God in heaven that we ought to trust and depend on. You say, well, I'm having it rough. But I know a God in heaven that knows everything you're going through. Why don't you look up and just see, well, why are we here? Is God just trying to keep me? He kept this woman at the bottom of the barrel. She was blessed, but she's at the bottom of the barrel. You don't have to have everything to be blessed. I say, Lord, keep me at the bottom of the barrel, if that's the way you have to get my attention. Amen. I get to overabundance. I don't want to get the big head and decide I've arrived. God's always kept me poor. I appreciate it. Makes me appreciate what I've got when I get it. To give God the glory for it. Amen. God's given me things in these last years of my life that I watched others get and wondered about where in the world they got all that and how they got it. And I look at it and I say, Lord, I'd rather have it now. It means more to me now than it did would have when I was 20, 25. What I've got now means more to me than when I was 30 and 40. Amen. It means something to me now. I watch God do it. It means something. God help us. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's go went and did. Amen. Bow your head. Close your eyes. And let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you may have come to a place in your life, I don't know what's going on. Maybe I don't know what's going to happen. There's too many question marks going around in your head this morning, but I want to tell you this. God has not forsaken you, and He will not forsake you. God is with you now. He'll be with you tomorrow. Matter of fact, He said He'd go with us always. And after a while, God's going to get us out of this old weary land, and we're going to shout it out on the other side. The battle will be over. Victory will be won. Thank God for it. 307 in the red book. Get your book, let's see.